happy hour is so good, we only need 30 minutes. Live from Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
How you doing?
I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm tired. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm doing good.
Good. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Also me. Yeah, yeah.
Life of the restaurant.
All that. Yes. I agree with all that. We could do that show too.
Yeah, we could.
We could do it's a light sports week. We could just lament restaurant jobs and then talk Vikings draft, Brewers draft, Bucks, and get out of here. yeah, it was a good week. It's a good sports week always, but being a local sports fan, being a Milwaukee Bucks fan.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, that was I actually watched, unfortunately, that game last night. It was the only game of the Bucks postseason that I was able to watch. I should have skipped it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a throttling.
They lost. They were down. They wasn't close the entire time. The return of playoff Dame Lillard didn't matter. They lost like 120-98. The Bucks season ended in a whimper, kind of a very, very predictable whimper.
Man, when both of your star players are out, I mean, what's going to happen?
Exactly what happened. Yeah. The NBA is the fourth and fifth best players on a team don't generally step up for an entire series to be able to beat a playoff team. And Indiana Pacers, playoff team.
Yeah.
They look good. They have a superstar who played the entire series, had other players playing really, really well. About two-thirds of the way through the season, you could have very well predicted that this was exactly how the Bucks season was going to play out.
So what do you think is going to happen in the offseason now? Is there anything they really do? I mean, they could probably use Lillard as trading.
I think all of the players that are hurt and kind of, we'll call them, they're worth like 80% of their true value at this point. Giannis, injured, maybe not worth as much as a full strength Giannis. Same thing, Dame Lillard. What you're gonna see from the Bucks is a run it back. They have spent all of their draft capital, let's say all of their draft picks that they can trade, any players that they could that salary wise that they could move. You can't get rid of Brook Lopez. He's kind of old and nobody really wants him.
That's not very nice.
It's not my fault. He's a 37-year-old center in basketball. Kind of an outdated model to have on your team. But Chris Middleton, 6 foot, he's oft injured.
Yep.
Played pretty well in the playoffs, although the playoffs were about five games long. He played pretty well. He only played 55 games this year. So you got to bring him back, hopefully at what feels like full strength. Giannis back at full strength. Dame Lillard at full strength, playing a full season. Bobby Portis played extremely.
Yeah, the previous game, game four, he was just lights out.
He played as a sixth man. He was scored most bench points this year in the NBA. He was clearly one of the best bench players. He's going to get a larger role. That's going to be the change. He feels like a starter. He's outplayed where he's sitting on the bench. And what you're going to see from the Bucks, what you haven't seen in a bunch of years because of salary cap.
Yep.
They're maxed out. They can't sign anybody. They're one of the highest payrolls in the league. Any players who leave, Patrick Beverley, who threw a basketball at the end of the game yesterday.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he chucked a ball at a fan. He'll be gone. Jay Crowder, who they traded a bunch of second-round picks for, and then guy didn't see the floor. He'll be gone. Any of the players that they lose in the offseason to free agency are going to be replaced by young players.
Sure.
They have a handful of, just for funsies, Marshawn Beauchamp, Andre Jackson, and A.J. Green. Those are the three young players that they have that are... What you need is young players who play 12 to 15 minutes. They don't have to be stars. They don't have to start. But you need rotation minutes out of guys that are making rookie salaries.
Sure.
That's the only way that the Bucks.
Funny how that works.
That's how a salary cap's supposed to work in the NBA. They've maxed out all of their options of signing guys, whether it was the right signings for Middleton and Lopez and the right trade for Damon Lillard. Doesn't matter. They can't do anything about it but play young players. They have two draft picks this year, which normally the Bucks have been trading first and second round picks to upgrade their roster for playoff guys. Okay. You're going to need those guys to play. Whomever they are, doesn't matter. The best players available, they'll all get a chance to play minutes because they need bench. Because their starting five looks, on paper, looks really good. If you subtract the injury concerns and the fact that most of those guys are going to play 60 games instead of 75 games.
He's becoming, Giannis is just hurt toward the end of the season so far, the last several seasons.
It happens with very highly trained athletes. Giannis's game is all strength, explosion, athleticism, fast twitch. It's both makes him great.
Fast twitch. There's some big words there.
Thank you. Yeah. I had this much coffee.
Yeah, all right.
You know, we've been up since before the sun. We got big words. But yeah, he's that. It does happen with these very highly.
He's not a small
hamstring.
Guy either.
No, he's 6'10" at least. He's all of 6'10", 11", all muscle, and you hurt arms, you hurt shoulders, you hurt knees and ankles and spots like that, and they just sort of stay.
Sure.
But that is true for almost every NBA superstar too. I don't know of a lot of off the top of my head players who play 80 games really.
I know one out of Minnesota.
Anthony Edwards. I didn't even have on here all the nice things about Minnesota because I was so wah-wah about the Bucks, but.
Yeah.
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yep, quick.
Yeah, please.
Do you think Doc Rivers comes back?
Yes.
Man.
Yeah. It's. I mean, I get as excited about Doc Rivers as I did about Mike McCarthy. Yes. Yeah. You know, or Leslie Frazier, maybe. You know, who is that guy that they that
Childress?
Childress. Yeah, Brad Childress. That was a good
run. That was
the
ponder.
Mike Zimmer.
You like
Zimmer, but yes, you're bringing Doc Rivers back because.
Well,
it's clearly
a 3-year contract, too.
And it's clearly not the coach. And you can't just go through
I think it's a lot
cycling
of coach.
Through coaches that are going to make a difference.
Well,
I don't think that roster, prior
to the Doc coming in, mm-hmm. I mean, they were a pretty good team. They just defensively were a little
Yeah, the record was worse under Doc Rivers, and they lost a lot of clutch games, which is, for anybody who's following Doc Rivers' coaching career, is just right on par with the reasons he gets fired from every job is because he is
not a good coach.
He coaches. I don't know what he's. I don't know how he keeps getting the. He won a championship. Is how he gets the job. He's an analyst, so he talks a lot of good basketball, and he keeps getting jobs. It feels like that Belichick. The flipping of the league. You've seen in the NBA this year, the Suns out with Kevin Durant.
Yep.
You saw LeBron James and the Lakers out with Anthony Davis, another superstar. You saw the Golden State Warriors, who won 4 championships. That's an entire decade worth of championship teams that I don't think any of those players are going to win another championship for the rest of their career. I don't see LeBron James, Kevin Durant, or Steph Curry winning another championship.
I could see Steph if they retool.
Maybe.
I mean, because it's the same team.
Man,
Other than this young,
and watching a little bit of these NBA playoffs, young talent is just
dominant.
They are. Anthony Edwards has been great, but he's only one of a very short of a list of like Oklahoma 20, City. Yeah,
2 or 23.
Oklahoma City is full of 23-year-old stars, and they look fantastic.
I mean, Minnesota throttled Phoenix, and it was like, oh my gosh.
Yes, Phoenix made huge trades in the offseason to get this super team, and they were destroyed by I guess a super team too. Like Minnesota
not a real weak point, at least the starting five on that.
Correct.
But they hustle.
Yeah.
They just fight, and then Anthony Edwards is just great.
He's doing what Jimmy Butler did a couple of years ago. He was doing what I don't want to say like he did what Kobe does or Michael, but he's putting a team on his back and
he's
just
built like
you
Jordan.
Can see him physically dominating other physically dominant player. Like he's taking guys who are great athletes and he is beating them all over the court. That is really good. If anybody is on the fence about watching playoff basketball or NBA basketball in general, Minnesota Timberwolves is a good bet. They're exciting to watch.
Now, okay, except for the fact that they're playing the Denver Nuggets.
This
will be a good series. I don't know.
Minnesota's got the right kind of roster to at least hold in check what Denver does. Nikola Jokic on the Denver Nuggets is fun to watch.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of
He's unsurpassed when it comes to the assists
passes behind the back.
You see that?
He's
crazy.
And once or twice a game he does something that you're like, well, a 7-foot, 270-pound guy should not
be able to do. He's a great power or point guard.
Yeah, point guard in slow motion.
Yeah.
It really, it's a that'll be a fun series to watch.
Yep.
Look at us, we covered the NBA.
I know.
Nailed it.
Before the NFL.
Yeah, right? That's that way to go, I guess. That's
offseason.
It is officially, I guess that wraps us right back around to this is officially the NFL offseason for a brief period of time, right?
Yeah, we get, yeah. Until at least August, July, August.
I mean, we say that the season starts at the draft. It's you get a nice break. There's these teams now, everybody who likes the draft, who follows an NFL team, now has a chance to look at their roster.
Yeah, now this is where all the incumbents are all, well, let's give them the draft grade, yep. which is really stupid because you don't know.
I like to look back, and I did this
a year later.
A year or two later, and see what these A draft grades actually panned out to be. Because in theory, they've said like the Chicago Bears, and we're going to cover some NFC North draft.
Yeah, we have to.
The Chicago Bears had a draft. By all accounts, they drafted, not only got their quarterback, they got their wide receiver. They also, my favorite time of year is when teams draft punters and kickers.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me. It used to be a seventh round thing. It used to be a thing when a kicker would get drafted. This year, there were like four punters and three kickers drafted, and the NFC North got one of each.
Yeah.
For anybody who follows college football in the Midwest, I think it's Torrey Taylor, I think is his name, out of Iowa. He was the punter that the Bears drafted.
Okay.
He was the guy who was the best. He was the MVP of the Iowa offense this year. The Iowa offense for the last few years was awful. Their defense was really, really good, sent a lot of pro talent and played really well. But their kicker routinely, or punter, 70-yard punts. Set the NCAA record for punt average, punt yards. He plays
well the new...
And with that team,
yeah,
I love that draft. For me to say that draft pick of a punter, he's going to make a huge difference on a team that's going to struggle on offense once in a while with a rookie quarterback, a young skill position. I love that. So they got an A draft grade.
Okay.
So that's nice for the Detroit. Drafted really, really well. They got cornerbacks. They got two really good cornerbacks and two guards, two linemen. They had a real Detroit Lions. Looks like that group, that Brad Holmes, whatever, and that team.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell, they got their linemen. The Minnesota Vikings.
Yes. I didn't have any picks.
I would say, besides the top, they got the best. In the first round, they won the first round. We covered that last week.
Yep, I think so.
I don't think you can, any team that gets two first-round picks, at least right after the draft.
Well, especially a quarterback in that.
Correct. One of them's a quarterback, and the other is the best defensive player in the draft. Unless one of those is a bust. Yeah, that's a... As a not Vikings fan, I thoroughly root for a J.J. McCarthy bust, but he doesn't feel like it. He feels like he might be, you know, underwhelming. He might have a little bit of that, like, Jay Fiedler, a little bit of that Rich Gannon in him. But he, you know, if that's
Rich Gannon won a Super Bowl.
You know what
I'm
saying? Yeah, not an impressive arm, but an impressive
Brad Johnson-ish.
Game. You would take a Brad Johnson. Mm-hmm. If that's what he turned out to be, a better-than-average quarterback who played a lot of games for a lot of years.
Yeah, we just lived through 6 years of that.
Yeah, happily. I watched you pretty happily talk about Kirk Cousins, about being a top. You have made an argument thoroughly for a top five Kirk Cousins. I got a fun question for you, and you can hear it. Does J.J. McCarthy have a higher upside than Kirk Cousins as an NFL top seven quarterback?
I think J.J. is more athletic. I mean, if you watch some of the Kirk didn't run.
No, but I remember Kirk Cousins at Michigan State was a, you know, better than athletic quarterback. That was, you know, he undersized, but athletic.
I think JJ is more athletic.
Okay.
What the rest of it is, it'd be pretty good comparison to it. I mean, time will tell. We'll see.
Right. So,
and do I think he'll start right away? I don't think he'll start. I think they're going to try to reel him in and just kind of say, listen, we're going to take this slow, try to do it the right way, but.
Well, their roster is set up to win regardless of quarterback.
Yeah,
it feels like they're building a team that, because if your choices, the Minnesota knows that if your choices at quarterback are a raw first round pick or Sam Darnold, no matter who your quarterback is, the expectation for quarterback play is pretty low. Yeah. So you better have a running game, you better have wide receivers, you better have a tight end and an O-line, you better have a defense that improves very, very quickly. And looking at their draft, like I said, they may have replaced what they lost in free agency in the draft, but with a quarterback and an edge rusher. But other than that, is there anything that they did that made you say, yeah, that's going to help us win a game?
Well, they
had like four picks in the whole draft, right?
Six. Seven, sorry.
Right.
So they had, Fourth rounder, they pick up a cornerback from Oregon.
All right.
Walter Roos from Oklahoma, outside tackle, which keep an eye on him. Kicker.
Anytime you're drafting,
which we need kickers.
Oh, that makes me laugh because the last time the Vikings drafted a kicker, they cut him. Did he make it into like week two?
I don't think so.
Was it Mike Zimmer got real fed up with that rookie kicker and they cut Greg Carlson?
Yep.
Who went to Oakland and is a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
The Vikings' success with kickers makes me chuckle all the time. Going back to, you know, 20 years of who did we want? We had a Fouad Verveys. We had ourselves Gary Anderson. Remember Gary?
Yeah, anyway. So I got a quick little story. In round 7, pick 10,
okay.
We picked up a center from Wake Forest.
Sure.
Michael Juergens.
Yeah.
Nobody knows his name.
No. This
is Wake Forest. I do because I have a very, very good friend of mine that actually goes to Wake Forest or attends Wake Forest games. You know, it might be a booster. But he's a very big supporter of Wake Forest.
Sure.
So he texted me as soon as that happened. He goes, "Hey, that's going to be a guy that's going to be one of those,
right.
You know." And I know his mom.
Perfect. If you can vouch for all of that.
So now I know his friend of a mom.
So you're on that team. You know a guy who knows a guy.
Yeah.
And you'll be rooting for Michael Juergens, 7th round pick. Yeah. Out of.
I will actually now.
Okay, I bet you know.
But he's supposed to be. I mean, he's. I don't know if he's going to be starting talent, but he's for sure backup. You know, but he's a center.
Most of these draft picks make the 53-man roster.
Yeah, they're backups.
They're a backup somewhere, and
unless
all it takes is that one.
Well, last year it was Ivan Pace Jr., who wasn't even drafted.
You play well enough in the preseason, you get enough snaps, you start moving up that depth chart
practice.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That brings us to
the Packers.
The Packers had a fantastic day one. I was fine with the tackle, you know, like it's a Green Bay Packers thing.
Yep.
They just pick a lineman, they'll figure out where he plays, and they've done about as well as anybody else.
Edrin Cooper is not a bad pick.
Edrin Cooper's the best linebacker who's not an edge rusher, best middle linebacker type, and with the changing of their defense, that's a great pick. I very much like that. He's going to start. Once again, a second round guy from the SEC. And a linebacker going to start for the Packers. And then they also drafted a
running back.
Well, they drafted a running back. That was out of USC.
Third rounder.
And that combines two things I really like out of a draft pick. It's the big school running back, and it's the mid-rounder.
Sure.
He had an injury a few years ago and played backup at USC, which happens because they have a ton of talent. Yeah, I was great with that pick. That looks like a guy who can back up Josh Jacobs.
Sure.
I don't consider A.J. Dillon to be anything more than a strictly goal line back.
Sure.
Who else did they get? They got...
picked up a quarterback.
A quarterback in the 7th round, which...
Yeah, That's a Packer thing.
That's a Green Bay Packer. They had a very Green Bay Packer draft, right?
Yeah.
Like they got a quarterback in the 7th round who... Whether that guy makes the active roster or he's on the practice squad, I like that because that Michael Pratt was looked at as like a, you know, 5th round pick or so. So, you know, he makes the quarterback room full.
Sure.
Instead of having a journeyman in there, you're bringing your own guy into the quarterback room. So I like that. The safety that they drafted in the 2nd round looks really good. He's going to start opposite Xavier McKinney. He's a... can do it all kind of safety.
Oh, yeah.
Bullard, I think is his last name, out of Georgia.
Yet again,
there's another Georgia defensive player that the Packers have drafted very early. They are, like I said, they're great about on defense drafting SEC players, big school guys, strength speed guys, and finding a spot for them that works. And also in true Packer fashion, they drafted 3 offensive tackles,
okay,
3 safeties. Not cornerbacks, that they're safeties. So they lost 2 guys.
Sure.
That's all new guys in the safety room. Cornerback, they drafted a cornerback in the 7th round. So I thought they might have gotten another cornerback, like a real cornerback, because they have just Jaire Alexander is either not playing well, getting suspended, getting injured, or playing. He's up and down. Sometimes he looks like a Pro Bowler, but other times he doesn't play for 6 weeks. Eric Stokes, it does not look like a Pro Bowler, but he often gets injured and misses 6 weeks. So you need a cornerback. But they, you know, whatever. I'm not in the draft room. They don't give me a vote anymore.
No, really.
Yeah, no. 2 linebackers, a running back, and a quarterback. So that's for me. I mean, that filled all the needs. They had 11 picks. I believe they used 10 of them. Might have traded up once, but they their roster didn't need of anything. They weren't going to get anything in the draft that they needed. They needed a tackle. They were going to get one. They had lots of draft picks. Sure. So that one looked good.
I'm really I think the North will be really good this year. I think just because with Caleb Williams, you know, your Green Bay Packers, Detroit, I mean, and then there's my Minnesota Vikings. Who knows what they're going to be like? But I think in the long term, I think the NFC North will be that juggernaut that some of these other divisions have been.
You think so?
I think so.
Do you think they just spend a lot of time beating each other up? Because one of these teams has to be like 7-10, right? There has to be a 7-10 team. There has to be a 13-win team in here.
Yeah.
Or is it just going to be a whole bunch of teams hovering around 500?
I think maybe not necessarily this coming year, but the year after, once everything starts developing. I'm thinking in terms of my Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1 year under, you know, with JJ, I think, and figuring out what we got there. But it's always, I mean,
because last year, for anybody keeping track at home, I believe it was Detroit with 12 wins.
I think so.
And then the Vikings, the Packers, and the Bears all sort of finished within a game or two.
It'll be
somewhere between 7-10 and 9-8.
I mean, prior to this year, it's always been, well, we know Chicago's going to be at the bottom.
But, I mean, which of the teams is most likely to finish at the bottom, like a 5-win team? Is there a 5-win team?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, I think
Chicago, with everything that's going on, even with a rookie quarterback, I think they'll at least get 7. They had 7 wins last year, didn't they?
They did have 7 wins. That's why.
So I think they get one more win.
They should get better. So I you're pretty sure Caleb Williams is a better quarterback this year than Justin Fields was last year?
Well,
because if he's not.
Yes or no, but they retooled a lot of other stuff.
It's a different looking offense.
Yeah,
a more traditional, although Caleb Williams is an athlete, they're looking at him to be a passer.
And we'll see.
I mean, you don't give up Justin Fields, who's an incredible runner, if you don't think he's going to be. So the NFC, so it would be Minnesota at the bottom of this division, obviously.
Easy.
Right? And then,
why?
And then Chicago, and then make the argument for Minnesota winning the division.
I don't. I can't make an argument right now without seeing them.
Yeah. It's for me, Detroit's still better than.
Oh, Detroit's going to be the top of the heap. And then Green Bay.
You think so?
I mean, unless they take a step back this year. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that I didn't expect that to happen last year.
There's a lot in me that says, well, they have to get better because they were young. But also, maybe, you know, I don't know how great these players are. Right? Like, I don't know how great Jalen Reed is. Is he going to be better next year by a lot than he was this year? Christian Watson, is he ever going to be healthy? Romeo Dobbs looks like a good receiver, but is he a great receiver? Jordan Love looked B+, right? Like, if you were going to rate, is he be a B+ quarterback? Is he an A+ quarterback?
The biggest thing is the defense coordinators.
Yeah.
They didn't know what they had with Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden you see him, and then he gets to the playoffs, and then he's playing San Francisco. They have the whole offseason to go, okay, let's see what's going on here. It happens every year. C.J. Stroud.
Correct.
I think C.J. Stroud, there's going to be a step back.
Yeah, he's not going to throw 45 touchdowns or two interceptions this year.
You know, that's defensive coordinator. That's all they do. Mm-hmm. Okay, who's the one that beat? Oh, it's C.J. Stroud. Right. What do we got to do? So, you know, they look at the film. They dive in and going, okay, that's how he did it.
It makes you think that for me, it's guys drafted in the second round, end of the first round, there's a reason they're not blue chip prospects. Maybe there's Jordan Love might not ever be Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
Is he going to be better next year by a lot than he was this year? Hard to tell. For me, I don't think Minnesota improved their team all that much to win.
I think their defense improved.
Quarterback play goes down a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe their running game gets better.
Yeah, probably.
Probably their defense, but they lost Danielle Hunter was one of the most consistently good defensive players in the league.
But in the free agency, we also picked up a lot of tools, a lot of guys.
You gotta pick up a good tool in the offseason.
Tools to be great.
Yes. What else?
You've got 3.5 minutes left. Do you want to talk about the Brewers quick?
Let's quickly bust through that because they had an interesting week. They're still right around first place in the division. Which, you know, like I said, they're going to be there all year. They feel like 50-50 to make the playoffs. they started the season not being 50-50 to make the playoffs, in my mind. Feels like they could go either way, and they could still win 90 games like they did every single year. Their offense is ranked somewhere between 3 to 5 in the league. They are just – they're stealing bases. They're hitting for average. They're hitting for power. They're doing all the things that they didn't do last year.
Sure.
Including their pitching's middle of the road, which has been a while.
Pitching last year was better, right?
Best. One of the best staffs, bullpen to starting rotation.
And they gave up everybody?
They gave up two guys, got a guy hurt. Guys who they expected to play have not played exceptionally well for the starting rotation. But, you know, after 30 games sitting in first place, give or take, they're playing the Cubs this week. They're going to Wrigley. Hey, it's the Craig Counsell revenge game. They get to bash Craig Counsell home runs and get, you know, point at the dugout and, you know, bat flip at Craig Counsell and all those, you know, all those nice things that baseball players do. Yeah, hopefully you get to see that. The interesting thing for me, they called up a prospect. Tyler Black is one of the best 50 prospects in the game. He's looks like a really, really good hitter. He's going to play first base, going to play third, he's going to play outfield. Whatever, he's a young guy with talent.
Yeah.
My favorite thing that happened was the Brewers had the weirdest week with umpires.
Yeah.
They started out, they played the Yankees. Aaron Judge is a very tall outfielder for the New York Yankees, like 6'7". He was running down from first to second, threw his hands up while sliding into second, a very well ways away from second, threw his hand up. Well, at 6'7", he blocked the ball with his hand.
That's not legal, is it?
Not legal. The umpires did not call it.
Oh.
They didn't call it. It looked natural or whatever, like it looked accidental. Well, it wasn't. It clearly looked accidentally intentional. And so the Brewers, again, ended up giving up 7 runs in that inning and losing the game. The next day, they were playing the Devil. They were playing the Rays. They loaded the bases, bottom of the ninth. There was a swinging strike. On the swing, the batter hit the catcher for catcher interference that they called late. Brewers lost the game, bottom of the ninth. Terrible way to – the next game.
Oh, my God.
The next game, the Brewers gave up a home run. The reliever said something to the batter. He hit him. He hit him on purpose, got ejected from the game. Okay. It's a very strange week to be a Brewers, to watch the Brewers and the umpires, and they were wrong in every case, but they got the short end of all of those deals. But they're still I got to listen to him. Bob Uecker sounds great.
30 seconds.
Dang. Wow. Well, we did really, really well with that one.
Yeah.
Way to go over there.
Yeah.
Thank you for showing up. Thank you for DRT for letting us do this. It's been a really, really good time. Got anything else?
Don't forget, next Wednesday is the Spring Pledge Drive. Donate. Help us out.
Yeah, you can come by next Friday and wave at us in the window for $1.
Sure.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's a great pledge. Have a great week, everybody. Bye.